the morning, Roderick Gray versus City of Bruce. Mr. Wade.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This case is about the attempts of Roderick Gray, a black person, to be hired as public works director in the town of Bruce, Mississippi, which is about a 2,100 population town. Your Honors, as far as I know, and when I was in law school, and I'll bet when Your Honors was in law school, there was never any training in what are legitimate qualifications for a public works director in a small town. That is something that would be within the expertise of average citizens who have to live in those towns, such as persons who live in the Northern District of Mississippi. I have tried many cases in the Northern District of Mississippi. I have never had a black jury, a majority black jury, except in Greenville, not in Northeast Mississippi, where we try this case. And for the life of me, I do not see any legitimate reason why the issues in this case should not be presented to a jury to apply their good common sense as to whether the reasons why the town steadfastly, time and again, over and over again, refuses to offer the position of public works director to a very highly qualified, long-term employee, and the only employee who had the certifications for the job. Just briefly, Your Honor, I'm not sure the record reflects how many employees in the public works director. I want to say it's around 10. It's divided between the street department, which anybody can go work on the streets without any type of qualification or certification, and the water/sewage department, where you got to have certification from the Board of Health. Somebody, according to the statute, we have some debate about exactly what it means, but in any event, somebody with training, certification, that passed tests has to be over in charge of the water, wastewater department. Mr. Gray has that. He has certifications in both areas. He's been there for 20 years. He was a senior employee. There was no logical reason why he couldn't be moved up when the long-term public works director left. The city, though, when Mr. Blackwalter left, added to the qualifications and said from now on the public works director is going to be in charge of zoning, which, as I point out, Mr. Gray had no previous experience in zoning, and he's going to be in charge of grants, and he'd never written any grants. Now, frankly, why would they think a black person couldn't learn to write grants or learn to enforce the zoning ordinances? I don't know, but he said, you know, that's now going to be a qualification to the board. One of the black members protested at the board meeting when he said that and said, well, I don't see why we just can't, you know, go we have done and move somebody up.
Let me ask you a quick question. What's the makeup of the aldermen racially? The aldermen, what's the racial
it's
makeup?
3-2 white majority, Your Honor. 3-2 white majority on the board. The two, to make it a little bit less confusing, the two black aldermen are both last name is Armstrong. So if you see Armstrong talking in a minute, that's a black alderman. But they made a national search, and I'm sure they'll tell you what lavish qualifications they had for a fellow named May. And I'm certain he's highly intelligent, executive or whatever, but he had not done any wastewater work for 10 years. He was an executive in a construction company. And I'm sorry, he hadn't been certified in Mississippi. He hadn't been certified in any state in 10 years. They point out years ago that he was had been in charge of public works at huge cities and things. He had enormous paper qualifications. But he hadn't done any actual hands-on work, I believe he said, in 15 years, and he hadn't been certified in 10 years. But on paper, they could certainly say, well, he's highly qualified. He's got zoning experience and grant experience, and they offered the job to him. He initially said, no, it's not enough money. They paid a lot more than they paid the previous director, but they offered it to Mr. May. He initially refused it. And then it came down, I'm sorry, Mr. Moss was his name, Mr. Moss, the first white candidate. And then the next candidate, there were three whom they claimed to be top candidates. I'll talk about that in a minute if I have time. But the second one was a Mr. Moss. Mr. Moss was an engineer. He had no public works experience. They offered it to him, and Mr. Moss said, I want even more money. I want like $80,000 a year. I'm not interested. So Mr. Moss never came. Instead of going to Mr. Gray, they went back to Mr. Moss and gave him a job, and he lasted about a year and a half. He had no experience with a particular type of sewage treatment program they had there. There was testimony Mr. Gray had to show him how to do the job, and he lasted about a year and a half, and he testified in his deposition that he thought all the Bruce employees were bad workers, or he didn't have a good relationship with them, and he left. And according to them, he got a job in another town to be a public works director, but he wouldn't answer his deposition about what they paid him at the new town, and he left. So at that point, all the white candidates had been exhausted. They then they had some debate about putting a temporary worker, a white worker, in the job. They could never agree a temporary worker from the town in the job as interim director. They could never get together on what to pay him. And then after that, they just abolished the department and ultimately made Mr. Gray the head of just sewage and wastewater alone, and made another white worker. His name was Mr. Farmer, head of the street department, so they're without a public works director. The first claim in this case is race discrimination, and Your Honor, I'm certain, as you can see from counsel's brief, he can list some ways that Mr. Moss is highly qualified. And Judge Mills said, well, we don't want to keep local municipalities from, you know, deciding on who is the best candidate. But the question in this case is whether they were making a legitimate effort to decide about who the best candidate was, or whether they were just determined they were not going to give Mr. Gray the job. I think one of the things he's going to say is, well, Mr. Gray admitted he didn't have a good interview. Your Honor, that type of thing is up to the jury. This is a small town of 2,100 people. They know Mr. Gray. To say, you know, he didn't do a good job in his interview, they probably see him, you know, once a week or whatever. And they, you know, recounted some incident where he improperly, he didn't cover up an open hole at some point. And, you know, they all know him. They're in a small town. I'm certain they can find some things wrong with him just like you could anybody. But the problem is that a jury could find that race is the reason. And then once we file this suit, retaliation is the reason. One of the aldermen, Mr. Parsons, said he wasn't going to have anybody in a managerial job that had sued the city. That one of the black aldermen quoted him as saying that. So I understand that counsel can say, well, Mr. Moss had worlds of experience and training, and that he, you know, he had worked in big cities, but whether all that was just a cover for race discrimination, and whether once he filed this suit they weren't going to let him have the job in any event, Your Honor, those were just jury questions. So if the court please, that's all I have. Thank you.
Well, hold on, Mr. Wade, let me just ask you. As I gathered it, I mean, there's not a contest about there having been a prima facie case established, and I take it there's no contest that the city proffered, you know, a non-discriminatory reason. So we're kind of at the third prong. You agree or not?
Well, Your Honor, the question is whether it's all pretextual. If the job is so important, when they start out, it's so important, we've got to increase the salary, we've got to add job duties to it, and when Mr. Gray is an applicable candidate, he doesn't qualify because this is a job we're going to pay at least $60,000 a year to. We're going to add grant writing, we're going to add zoning. But then when Mr. Gray is no longer a candidate, when they've exhausted all the white candidates and this job is so unimportant, we don't even have to have anybody fit it. We just won't even have a public works director.
I mean, I understand your argument. I was just trying to synthesize down to the core issue before us, and that obviously would be whether there's a genuine issue of material fact, and just to see if I had it right. They don't contest that there's a prima facie case shown. They proffered non-discriminatory reason, so we at the third point of where the tension is, or whether there's a fact issue, such as you say, that should go to the jury. I'm just trying to make sure I understand the articulation of what you say the fact issue is.
Well, the fact issue is whether the reasons they're given are pretextual, Your Honor. If they have to have all these high qualifications for the job that Mr. Gray doesn't meet when he's a candidate, I mean, when there are other white candidates and they say we've got to meet one that's got grant writing and administrative experience, and then when those candidates are no longer there And Mr. Gray presumably is the only candidate left at that point, and then they decided we're not going to even have a public works director. In other words, a jury could find it's pretextual to decide we're just going to abolish this position if we have to hire a black candidate because he's the only one left. They could also think, Your Honor, just applying good common sense. I mean, you know, if we were going to hire a public defender, we wouldn't necessarily think a Supreme Court justice was the best candidate for the job. A jury could find that all of that was just pretextual to come up with these qualifications, and he really didn't even meet, taking evidence in the light most favorable to the plaintiff, he didn't even minimal qualifications. He didn't have certification. He hadn't done any hands-on work in 15 years, and a jury in North Mississippi knows that somebody in that type of job is going to have to do some hands-on work with his own hands. On top of that, he told him he wouldn't even take the job unless he could also work a part-time job. So a jury could reasonably find everything they said was just a pretext, that they just did not want Mr. Gray. They never came up with any, you know, some little anecdotes, like one time he wouldn't cover up a manhole. I can't remember. I think there were a couple of others, but nothing that amounted to anything about why they thought Mr. Gray couldn't do the job.
There were several 3-2 votes by the alderman. Did that cut along racial lines?
Yes, there were 3-2 votes when they offered it to Mr. May. Of course, they're going to say that it was unanimous to first offer it to Mr. Moss, but the way they did it was just, it was easy to do, to make decisions on racial basis because they did it, each alderman circled three. So two of the aldermen didn't even put Mr. Gray in the top five. All five aldermen circled Mr. Moss. So if you got some white aldermen in there determined that they're not going to have a black head of the department, they just don't circle him, which leaves Mr. Moss as the, you know, all five had voted for him. So they had a system that was inherently designed to eliminate Mr. Gray, if that's what they were trying to do, which I fully believe it was, and I think that's what a jury would believe also. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Wade. Mr. Seiler.
Good morning. May it please the court. I represent the city of Bruce, Mississippi, which is a small town, as Mr. Wade said, of about 2,100 people, located just south of Oxford, Mississippi, in the northern part of the state of Mississippi. In 2009, the city decided, an opportunity arose, really, that gave the city a chance to make a change in how they handle their public works department, and more specifically, how they handle the direction or management of that particular department. And what had happened was that the individual, Mr. Blackwelder, who had been in that position for 2 decades, announced his retirement. At that point, the city, the politicians, the elected officials of that city, who'd been elected by the citizens of the city to manage that city, to put their vision in place of moving forward with that city, made a decision that they wanted to do better. They wanted to upgrade, trade up, as it were, with respect to their public works department and the management of that public works department. And they decided, as the mayor put it in the minutes, to aim high, to aim higher than they'd been doing, even mentioned that they needed to move into the 21st century and have a public works director who knew how to handle things such as social media and new technology and things of that nature. So they made the decision. And it was a unanimous decision by all the aldermen, 5-0 decision, that they were going to begin a nationwide search to see if they could find management that fit their criteria for their vision of where they wanted to take this city and particularly this department. And that was, you know, a unanimous vote by all concerned. They did that. They got a number of resumes from all around the country. I'd say probably most likely in the southeastern United States, but they got a number of them.
Was this the first time, well, I say first time, for whatever history in the town, was this the first time for a national search?
Your Honor, I'm not certain. I know that they had embarked on a search for a police chief sometime in the past that had been on a broader scope than just within the city. Whether they characterize it as a national search or not, I couldn't tell you. But they had not always just searched internally within the city for the next man up, so to speak. And in any event, you have, as you know, common sense tells you that these positions, the elected positions, change, and who's in office when a decision was made 8 years ago, very likely not going to be in office at the time a new decision is made. So it's hard to look back historically and say it's the city is some entity that never changes, and they've got changes in the people that make these decisions all the time. In any event, Your Honor, I think you, Judge Stewart, had mentioned or asked about the fact of where we stand in this process, and a couple things I want to make a comment about with respect to some of the remarks that were made. There are two issues in this case. One of them is discrimination, and the other one is retaliation. There is the parties are in agreement, and the district court found with respect to the discrimination issue that the plaintiff had established, or at least the parties had agreed that the plaintiff had established a prima facie case, and that the defendants had articulated a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for the decisions that they made. And we are on the discrimination issue now into the part of the process where we're determining whether or not there was pretext or some illicit motive involved in the decision-making process.
Well, on that point, it comes down to whether there's a jury issue. You know, the thing that jumps out at me is that this case could have been tried very quickly and long be over one way or the other, and a straightforward little jury trial right there at home instead of spending all this money and time to have find lawyers to come down and argue the case. We have to have you, but it just there's an awful lot of fight over the summary judgment and resistance to having the jury of the local people decide this. That seems to be the trend of the times that people everything goes on summary judgment. It just strikes me that the people that ought to decide this thing for the most part is because it strikes me that Mr. Wade has a good argument that he put it all in there and on this last issue, the total picture, and asked the jury what they found about it. Maybe whatever they found, they found. But that's what's your comment? I understand you want to win the case, and that's what you should do, and you win on summary judgment if you can. But that's my concern. I confessedly prefer to see cases tried.
I understand your remarks. Now, the comment I would have to that is why should a city government or management in general, why should every decision they make necessarily have to go before the inherent inconsistencies and issues of a jury trial with people who are not experts in making decisions about who is qualified for a position, who doesn't know what management or elected officials' vision of where they want to take a town may be, and then can impose their own decisions on the decision of management or elected officials about, you don't really need this person, you don't really need better qualifications, you don't really need to look at things differently, we're going to make a decision that you made this for some other reason. I think that's inappropriate, and I don't think management or elected officials, every decision should be put to a jury.
Well, of course not. That's why we have summary judgment, but when you, it has to be in mind that your argument about this, at least the local folks, they're deciding these things for themselves, et cetera, but then the first time they come down to judge whether there's been some misstep, you don't want that jury. You don't want the local folks deciding it.
The local folks decided in terms of the people they elected into office to make the decisions. As you know, you take any 12 people off the street in any location, and they may have 12, maybe they have 14 different viewpoints of how things should be done. And so we do want local people to have decisions, but they did, and they had that decision from the standpoint of who they elected to office to make the decision. But let me go back to my original point, Judge, to get back to your point. We talked about the employment discrimination aspect of this case. There's also a retaliation aspect of this case. It is different because the retaliation piece of the case never got beyond the prima facie case aspect of things. The district court made its decision that the plaintiff did not prove its prima facie case of retaliation. So we haven't gotten into the next rung of the structure in terms of deciding whether or not what burden of proof should be applied and all those other issues that come up once you get beyond the prima facie case. Mr. Wade mentioned the fact that at least some aspect of why the prima facie case should be questioned, or the district court's findings regarding the prima facie case should be questioned on the employment discrimination issue here, had to do with this issue regarding a water and wastewater certificate. And the plaintiff's argument in this all along has been that the plaintiff himself had water and wastewater certification from the state of Mississippi, and that Mr. Moss, who was ultimately hired as the public works director, had one from Florida, but he did not have one from Mississippi, and therefore he was not qualified for the position. And with all due respect to Mr. Wade, Your Honor, this is a red herring issue. The statute that's quoted in the briefs does not indicate that a public works director has to have a water or wastewater certificate. It says that a responsible official has to have that certificate to be able to operate those systems. They had someone there, which was the plaintiff, Mr. Gray, who had a water and wastewater certificate from the state of Mississippi. There's no legal reason why the public works director had to have that certification, and we would submit to the court that that's an issue that shouldn't have the court pause long in terms of looking at this particular situation.
You're saying as long as somebody in the department has it, then the city complies with the statute, is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Responding to some other comments Mr. Wade made, he made a comment in his argument that that the city did not think that black people could learn to write grants. And I can't let that comment pass without at least saying that that's not at all what the city said with respect to this. Anyone can learn to write grants. They wanted someone with experience in writing grants who had done it, who had had some success in the past, because they knew that they were going to need some grants to deal with infrastructure problems in the city, and they were looking for someone not who could learn it, but who had experience in that regard. Mr. Wade also mentioned the fact that the public works director that was hired, Mr. Moss, had to be shown certain aspects of how to deal with the water and wastewater system when he got there, and that Mr. Gray, the plaintiff, had to show him those things. And I would submit to the court that I think any time you walk into a new job, you're going to have to be shown certain things, where the wrench is, what valve you turn here or there. That's not why they were hiring a public works director. They had people to do those kinds of tasks. They were hiring a public works director
Let me ask you. I mean, getting past the initial hire, this is Mr. Moss.
Yes, sir.
Okay, he stays, a year, 18 months, or whatever, for whatever reason. One part of the brief says contract dispute or whatever. But in any event, he left, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so he was hired vis-a-vis the nationally advertised new credentials, et cetera. So we've got the first hiring when Mr. Gray, I almost said Mr. Bruce, Mr. Gray is not hired. And so then we get Moss has it, he leaves. All right, so at that point, as opposed to back to square one, another national advertisement of another person, a decision is made to change the format, go back to, if you will, a system where there isn't a titular head, but divide up these duties. All right, at least I think I read or it's inferred that, okay, the city makes this decision to go back and split the jobs, et cetera, and I think part of the argument is that, you know, that is pretextual. I mean, that's another feature of not hiring, you know, the plaintiff to split the job up. He ultimately gets the second of the two. I don't remember the exact duties, but he gets the lesser paid of the two split positions. So that kind of, I mean, at least facially, I mean, given the context of this whole deal, I mean, why wouldn't that, you know, create a fact issue? I hear what you're saying about the province of elected officials. That's not lost on me, but
in the middle of a lawsuit.
I understand.
I mean, and at least against the landscape of things, you know, 400 years worth, it's not unheard of for people to change the rules, you know, sort of midstream. And so at least if that's in the calculus, I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying in the calculus of where a national search was the primo, you hire a guy who wants $80,000 for a job that used to pay, what, 30 or 36 at the most. He's there 18 months. I guess there's no showing he didn't do a good job, but for whatever reason, he leaves. So rather than stay with the, we need a highly technical person, somebody who's in the 22nd century, et cetera, then a decision's made to change the dynamic. Plaintiff alleges, well, all this is part of the package of discrimination. I mean, why isn't that at least facially?
And I'll tell you why. Okay. And I think this is why the district judge ruled the way he did with respect to this particular issue. First of all, that was a unanimous decision by the board to split the department into two different groups. I'm sorry?
I mean, so what? So if you're saying that if, you know, the two Armstrongs voted for it to split,
yes, sir,
that somehow that arguably takes the air out of whatever vitality a claim might have?
Well, I think the district judge pointed out it's hard to criticize a management group or a group of elected officials when a biracial group of people unanimously make a decision, we're going to split these departments. And then you go from there, Your Honor, until there's deposition testimony that's in the record in which the alderman said, look, 18 months has passed, we've looked at this situation, we've now had experience, and there have been changes. And one of the things we now find is we balance out how we spend our money and how we try to manage the city and this department is that we think we can take the money we're saving, and by the way, Mr. Moss wasn't making $80,000, he was making $60,000.
I guess he wanted 80 of
it. Well, I think originally, yes, ultimately came back to 60. I'd want the higher number too. But the fact is that they could, the money they'd save both on the salary differential and on the benefits for that position, they could take and hire one or two other workers to do things there, you know, in the city, clean ditches, help them with infrastructure issues and construction, things of that nature. And they made a decision 18 months later, unanimously among that group, that we'd rather spend the money at this point hiring additional workers than paying one person to stand above this and make it work. They changed their mind after their experiences.
Did Mr. Gray get a bump up in pay when he became the head of the divided department?
He did. He did. And and Judge Stewart, you mentioned that you thought that he got the lesser of the pay raises between the two department heads. That I'm not certain
of. Well, and I wasn't trying to characterize it or put a spin on it. I just thought I remembered in the way that the two were, there were different duties for him and you know, whether it was a dollar left. But I wasn't trying to attach significance in the question to being lesser, but I just thought I remembered that the way they were divided up, one of them paid slightly more, I guess, because of the duties. But
I just don't recall the pay.
I didn't remember reading that both positions paid equally. I'll just put it, and I stand to be corrected by whatever the record says about it.
All right, because I'm just not sure. They did divide the department, though, into the streets, into the water and wastewater group, and they put the individual with experience over the streets in charge of that. I think it was the most senior person. And the other thing, Your Honor, too, that's worth pointing out in all this, that there was a white applicant for the job that Mr. Gray got after the departments were split up. He did not get the position. Mr. Gray got it over the white applicant. And, you know, another thing that's worth mentioning in this, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't say something about it, is the fact that, you know, one of the things they were looking for here was management experience. And managers manage frequently people that they don't know how to do the things that they do. I'm a managing partner in my law firm, and I manage IT people, for example, and the computer people. I can't spell computer, but I manage those folks. It's just part of what I do. It's part of what most managers do. They manage people that they don't know how to do what they know, what the people that they manage know how. And Mr. Gray had zero management experience. He'd been an hourly worker his entire career doing hands-on you know, construction and labor and things of that nature. Not that there's anything inappropriate about it, but that was what his experience was. And Mr. Moss, when they brought him in, had an incredible amount of experience. Now, one of the things that's important about the second decision, Your Honor, which is the fact that the they split the departments up and gave Mr. Gray at that point an opportunity to manage his part of the split department, is that it gave him a real opportunity for the first time in his career to get management experience, to showcase that he could either learn to deal with people or give him the experience of doing that, which he had never had before, which may ultimately, it may not, but it may ultimately be the best thing that ever happened for him if he really wants to move up in the management ranks, because now he's got experience, he can show what he's done. And the other, you know, another thing we mentioned, I think that a fact showed in this case, is not only did he not have any management experience, any supervisory experience, he wasn't even interacting with the other employees in the department. I mean, he would stay to himself. He testified that he had no interaction with other people. And how you can suggest that somebody that has handled themselves, conducted themselves in that way, who has no management experience, should be hired to be a manager of a huge department and people, really boggles my mind. And I think that the district court, in its decision, it said that the city shouldn't be penalized for deciding it wanted to make a change and it wanted to do better than it had done in the past. In fact, that's what they should be expected to do. And I think any factual issue of pretext in this situation is incredibly weak. If you give me just one moment to check my notes here. And I think I've hit all the points. Unless the judges have anything further for me. All thank right. you.
Thank you, Mr. Seiler. Mr. Wade, we're back to you.
Your Honor, with respect to his statement that it wasn't actually illegal for them to hire somebody that didn't have the certification, they made a really good argument. Maybe that's true. Maybe it didn't violate any criminal law to hire somebody that didn't have the certification. It was not actually illegal. But a jury could infer why in the world in a small town like this, where you know you got to have safe water and wastewater, and where the statute says that the operator, however that's defined, has to have certification, would they want to hire somebody that didn't have certification? Mr. Moss testified in his deposition that the agreement he had with the city was he would get certification within a year. He never did get it. If assuming a jury may think they ought to be out looking for the best interest of the people of the town, if Mr. Gray had gotten mad and said, I'm leaving, you can take this job and shove it, I've been here for 20 years and you wouldn't give it to me, if he'd said that, then they wouldn't have had anybody with certification unless they got, you know, somebody to school. So a jury could think they weren't even acting in the best interest of the people of the city. Your Honor, there was a step that when we were talking about Mr. Moss left, what happened after that? They did not immediately go to this system of abolishing it. On page 17, and I know this is tedious for the court quoting all these minutes, but those are particularly important because they made a white worker farmer, or tried to make farmer, the interim public service director, and they couldn't ever agree on the money with him, but that's discussed over there on page, the minutes are quoted on page 17. And the black alderman was asking, why can't you just see if there's somebody else in the department, obviously referring to Mr. Gray. But they just were not going to make Mr. Gray even the interim director, as shown over there on page 17. So it was only after they couldn't get Mr. Farmer, they couldn't reach an agreement with Mr. Farmer, who ultimately became the street supervisor, to be public works director, that they said we're just going to abolish the position. Your Honor, the comments counsel was making, and he represents a philosophy that's pretty prevalent in the country that we shouldn't even have jury trials. It ought to be about paperwork and just let the managers decide it. But, Your Honor, Congress decided this when they passed the Civil Rights Act of 1991 and said that we have jury trials and that ordinary citizens of the jury are entitled to pass on this. And I'm sorry that Mr. Seiler thinks it's interfering with their with their job duties, but they're just like everybody else. They have to abide by the discrimination laws, and a jury should decide whether they have or have not. And, Your Honor, I think Your Honor knows that absolutely. Why in the world should we spend all this money on summary judgment? It could have gone down with a jury where they'd have a predominantly white jury. Mr. Seiler's a very good lawyer, and maybe he can persuade them that there's no discrimination, and they'd have saved money by they could try the jury trial quicker than we could have done this. Absolutely. Quicker and easier and less expensive. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Wade. Thank you, Mr. Seiler and counsel. Appreciate the briefing and arguments. We'll take the case under submission. All right.